Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of praying together. We ask now that thou wilt open the word to us as we look into it, help us to understand it, and then help us to live in the light of it. We ask that thou wilt bless each heart today as we wait upon thee, recognizing that our help and our hope lies in thee. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the 16th chapter of the book of the Revelation, which we are studying together. In the 16th chapter of the book of the Revelation, we find ourselves in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, that period of intense judgment which is to be coming upon the earth. That judgment is symbolized in this particular portion of the word by 7 angels, each one of them having a bowl which is full of the wrath of God. At a given moment, each angel stands and pours his bowl out upon the earth. When he does, certain things related to judgment begin to occur. We have noticed these 7 angels stand to their feet. We have noticed 4 of them pour out their bowls, and I would like for us to notice the 5th before we go on to the other 2, because there is some connection between the last 3. So, will you notice chapter 16, verse 10, the 5th angel poured out his bowl upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the 6th angel poured out his bowl upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw 3 unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of demons, working miracles, which go forth to gather them to battle of the great day of God the Almighty. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into 3 parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Now I would like to suggest that we begin to look at the pouring out of these 3 bowls, that as we look at them, we should consider them, as we tried to keep before you, as literal judgments. Even though the bowls themselves are symbolic, the results of the pouring out of the bowls are literal. And if you do not keep in mind that fact, I think, personally, you will miss the importance of the whole discussion. Glancing at verse 10, you will notice that the result of the pouring out of the 5th bowl affected the Antichrist, his throne, and the capital city. The Antichrist is that person whom we met in chapter 13, and who will be the last great world ruler. He is everything that his name implies. He is Antichrist. He is opposed to everything that is related to God and related to righteousness. The word seat in verse 10 should read throne, because that's the meaning of the original word. The kingdom which will be presented to us later on in detail is the capital city of the Antichrist, and is the city of Babylon. So, as God brings the tribulation to a close, it would seem that he's going to aim all of his armaments at the Antichrist and those who are very closely related to him. The first indication that the Antichrist has that judgment is about to fall on him is that his capital is covered in darkness. Darkness, we read in Joel 2, so thick that you can feel it. Darkness that is absolutely devoid of light of any kind. If you stop to consider it for a moment, that which we call darkness usually isn't darkness. There is some light related to it in some fashion, but this is darkness, which is absolutely devoid of light. The people who are living in the kingdom of the Antichrist will be blaspheming God as the darkness adds to the discomfort which has already been visited upon them by the pouring out of another bowl with sores that were malignant and ulcerous, those sores covering them. Now, if you will look at verse 12 of this same chapter, you will find the sixth angel pouring out his bowl. When he pours out his bowl, a rather strange thing happens. He does not pour out his bowl into the air, as we find some of the angels doing, but aims it at a specific location on the earth, the river Euphrates. The river Euphrates is mentioned 21 times in the Bible. The first time that it is mentioned is in the book of Genesis, where sin begins. The last time that it is mentioned is in the book of the Revelation, where God gains the victory over Satan and sin. The river Euphrates is nearly 2,000 miles long, and it constitutes the eastern boundary of what will be the empire of the Antichrist. We are told in this 12th verse that when the angel poured out his bowl, the Euphrates River dried up. That sounds amazing, astounding, stupendous, but we believe the word of God, and we believe that when God works, he is able to do exactly what he says he will do. Dry up the river Euphrates and make out of it a highway for the approaching armies. Will you turn with me, please, to Isaiah chapter 11. Now I ask you to turn to this portion of the Word of God with me today, because so often you are told that anything in the book of the Revelation can be disputed because it is so full of mysticism, it is so full of symbols, it is so full of signs. But Isaiah 11 deals with the same period of time. You would recognize that if you had time to analyze the chapter. In Isaiah chapter 11:15, we read, "And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea, and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men to go over dry shod, and there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt." Now, notice particularly the language of verse 15. "Again the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea." We believe that this is a reference to the Suez Canal. The Suez Canal has been in our papers quite of late, recently. Egypt has complete control of it, and it seems that she will do as she will about it. But when God gets ready to fulfill his work at the end of the age, she will no longer have control of it, because God will destroy it. Then notice the next part of the verse. "And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and he shall smite it in seven streams, and make men go over dry shod." Why is God going to dry up the Euphrates River, according to Isaiah? Well, in verse 16 we are told why. "There shall be a highway for the remnant of his people which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt." Ultimately, God is going to gather his people together, the nation of Israel, from the far corners of the world. It is being done now in unbelief. Today, we see the nation of Israel, a recognized state in the land of Palestine. We see people going back to the land of Israel. They may not know what they are going back for or why they are going back, but the forces of God are moving them back. At the end of the age, he will gather them back in such numbers that the present return to the land of Palestine will look like a mere trickle. To aid the regathering of the children of Israel to the land, as God made a way through the Red Sea when the children of Israel were led out of Egypt. God will dry up the Euphrates River and make a highway out of it so that the people may return with ease. Now we're going to have to stop our meditation right here because our time is gone. There are other reasons for the drying up of the Euphrates River, and we will be looking at them the next time we meet together. In the meantime, you remember to pray for us.